Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Shayna Roth. They say one person's trash is another person's treasure, but what about one farmer's animal's poop? Could we turn that into a renewable energy source? Could we turn something so dirty and smelly into clean energy used to feed people? Energy makes the world go round, literally and figuratively. But how often do we think about what it takes to create clean, renewable energy? And what if we could take something we don't like, maybe even something that smells bad, and turn it into energy? Well, biogas research and technology does just that. By turning animal manure into clean, renewable energy, researchers working in rural Kenya are helping farmers improve their quality of life. Taisha Venor is a master's student in agricultural and biological engineering at Purdue University. She's here today to talk to us about finding energy in unique places. Hello, Taisha, and welcome to The Food Fix.
Thanks for having me in The Food Fix.
Okay. So your research centers mainly on getting energy out of animal manure. So how does this work?
So basically, if you're a farmer, and of course you deal with animal manure every day with, you know, the kind of animal you have in your farm. So what you do is basically, once you appropriate that technology, which is a biogas digester, you have your manure on the farm. So your manure is the input, and it's a very simple technology in which you put in your manure. And what it does is it's really a tank in which the process of anaerobic digestion occurs. So it's a process during which microorganisms are able to decompose your organic materials. And through that process, it's able to generate methane and really what it's biogas, which is a composition of methane and CO2 and other minor traces of other gases. So basically, once these inputs are able to make it into your digester and you have your biogas and you're supposed to be able to utilize it for energy and everything else.
What types of things can they use this energy for?
For the purpose of this research in particular, because we're focusing on rural areas and those technologies, especially in developing countries, are very used in rural areas on rural farms. The most farmers can do with these products are basically they can use the energy for cooking and lighting, but it occurs most of the times that the energy is mostly used for cooking. It requires, you know, some other technical applications to connect the energy sources to the appliances, such as a cook stove, but those are really minor adjustments and, you know, these can be figured out. So basically, the energy is mostly used for cooking and lighting.
Now, is each farmer given their own biogas, I think you call it a digester, to use? And who works those digesters?
So that's exactly what I will be investigating when I will be in Kenya. So usually in these biogas development projects, so they vary. So it depends on the kind of project, the kind of NGO, and the kind of partnership these farmers establish with the project carrier or the provider of the technology is. But the most common way they go about it is basically, it's a scenario where the farmer is given a biodigester or the government subsidizes the biodigester for the farmer, and the farmer is responsible for the everyday management of this digester. So the technology itself is kind of, in many cases, given to the farmer. If it's a household level one farmer is responsible for the management of it. And of course, if it's a community one, it requires more involvement. And of course, the community gets to manage the digester. So in this most common scenario, you have a farmer who's responsible for a biodigester to feed the biodigester regularly with manure and to be able to work the setting out to capture the biogas, which is kind of, again, this is why we're investigating to understand how farmers manage the system, how farmers are able to deal with the technology. Are they comfortable in dealing with the technology alone? Because the management of such a technology requires a lot of time and knowledge.
So are the farmers taught how to use them and then they're just kind of on their own to take care of them?
In many of the cases, the farmers, you know, if it's an NGO that comes with a project like this, then the farmers usually get training on how to use the digesters. So in most of the cases, they know how to use the digesters. But again, the everyday aspect of the technology is not something that is clear even to scientists and other stakeholders working in the field, because the monitoring of these technologies is very important in order for people to understand what's going on and what may happen if some part of the inputs are not right and how this may affect the technology itself. So yes, many of the times the farmers receive trainings, but it still occurs that in most cases, it's very difficult still to manage a digester even after the farmers receive training, because there's a lot of the day-to-day monitoring aspect of it that is quite difficult to grasp and understand from a farmer's perspective.
So they're not just completely on their own. They're sort of told this is how you take care of it on a day-to-day basis, but people will come in and check on you. Is that fair?
Such scenario might exist where you have, for example, a system or where an NGO has kind of an extension service program where they help farmers out with the management of their biodigesters. But most of the time, not to generalize, but again, this is what we're going to be investigating when I'll be in Kenya. Most of the time, the farmer is really handling this on its own, like the monitoring, the use of the digester, putting in the inputs and getting the outputs. It's really a one farmer kind of deal, like especially if it's a household level biodigester that you are dealing with. So there is really no extension on that kind of service and helping out the farmers in terms of, you know, where else they should get help to monitor their system.
So you mentioned community digesters versus a single farmer digester. So is there any sort of sharing of the energy that goes on, or is there only sharing if there's a community digester, and then if it's a farmer's digester, then it's just that farmer? How does that work? How does the energy get dispersed?
So yeah, again, this is a point of investigation, but I know that one of our case studies that we will be looking at, that I'll be looking at in particularly Eldoret, Kenya, is a biodigester system that is established for sanitation purposes. So basically the gas produced goes back into the system to sanitize the digester itself and avoid contamination. So in such a case, the biogas is used for a different purpose. Not, of course, it produces energy, but it does not go into food utilization, for example. So in this very case, it's a community-based biodigester where you have several, not latrines, but equivalent of latrines in an area, and they collect the human waste to produce the biogas and have that particular scenario. In the general cases where they use animal manure for energy production, for food utilization in a community setting, the community is usually a community of farmers. So the farmers put together, they figure it out. They, in terms of capturing the biogas, they have a way of capturing it and making it linked to the households or such thing. But again, I cannot speak yet in terms of what I will see on the grounds. I guess when I get there and we'll be able to see and analyze the scenarios, know my case, then that's when I'll be able to say more about these systems. But usually what you have is in a community setting is you won't have something like a community kitchen, but because you have a big system, then you have several pipes that leads to several different households inside that community because of the way the community is set already. And that should be able to provide energy for each household.
Okay, I think I get it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yes, it all sounds...
I tried.
Let's put this into terms that I can understand. And
okay.
So let's say I have a cooking stove. How much manure is it going to take to power that cooking stove for, say, a day or a week?
Okay, so let's say you have a cooking stove. So in order to produce about 5 meters cubed, let's say a typical biogas digester at a household level, the digester itself is about 5 meters cubed of volume. So it is able to actually produce around 4 to 5 meters cubed of biogas a day if you feed it with about 40 to 50 meters cubed of manure. Let's say if you're looking at cooking a meal for one individual, it will vary. It will require about 200 to about 500 liters of biogas to be able to produce that. So let's say in a household of about 4 people, it will require around 800 liters of biogas to be able to work this out. And from a daily perspective with the biogas production, you have 5 meters cubed, which is about 5,000 liters of biogas every day. So this typically should be able to feed about over 5 people in a rural area context, based on that's what the literature says.
Okay. So you've kind of alluded to this research project and this trip you're going to be taking to Kenya. What exactly are you going to be doing in Kenya this next summer?
So basically, I will be looking at a couple of biogas development projects. So I kind of want to look at how diverse these projects are in terms of the technologies that they are using, in terms of the farm systems on which these technologies are being applied to, and who is implementing these kind of programs. So it's a very kind of broad perspective of it, and it's really focused on the application side of the technology. Basically, what I'll be looking at is, you know, assuming that these technologies, this is what they are supposed to do, produce energy and eventually the outputs that they produce, which are the slurries, how are these people using these? How are these people using the energy and how are these people using the slurries? And what are the outputs really? It's basically the application side on which I will focus. It's what are the outputs and how are these people using these outputs effectively? And in that, so because these technologies are being applied on farm systems, it's important to look at the whole farm system operation and understand what comes in and what comes out of such a technology, and what, where exactly are the bottlenecks? Like, how are these farmers, you know, how do they perceive these technologies? Where are the most limitations in terms of the operation of the technology and anything else that is related to how the farm system operate in the technology? It's getting a really broad view on what are the key limitation and key factors that characterize each of these technologies, the application of these technologies under different implementation frameworks, and understand the differences between those implementation frameworks, and to be able to generate kind of a better scenario for each of these, or a more holistic scenario where really the goal is, how do you help these farmers capture the benefits of these technologies?
So are you excited?
Yes, it's yes, I am.
So, and then getting into how this affects food systems, recycling manure to use as a fertilizer, it's not necessarily a new concept in traditional agriculture. So how does turning manure into energy affect food systems? And are you actually reducing the amount of fertilizer available to the farmers?
No, not at all. So in such process, if you're a farmer and your farm system is operating very well with the application of a biogas technology, and you have a daily amount of organic fertilizers that you're able to collect from the process, then it's actually a very good thing, because not only it reduces your reliance for other fertilizers, but also having the natural fertilizer, having an organic fertilizer coming from this process is really adds a lot of benefits that the traditional fertilizers wouldn't add for the soil. So it really has a lot to do with soil health and all the other implications of soil health, because usually soil health is dependent on a lot of other factors, not just soil fertility. Nitrogen and phosphorus, these are just important for soil fertility. But in terms of other aspects of soil health, these organic fertilizer are able to provide to the soil a lot of other things, such as improve the soil permeability. And what it does, and which is the most important thing, is that it allows the soil to capture readily available nutrients. It's really a plus. So if a farmer is able to produce such a fertilizer after capturing the energy content of these manure, it's really a win-win situation when they apply these fertilizer to the soil, because it really contributes to a lot of aspects of soil health that other fertilizers cannot provide to the soil.
Okay. Taisha Vanort is a master's student in agricultural and biological engineering at Purdue University. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Shaina. It was a pleasure talking to you and talking about my project.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments, email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. Food Fix is produced by Ali Hussein, Casey Wurst, and myself, Shaina Roth. Karina Baskett is our managing editor. Our theme music is the song Watchin' My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Wilco. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Have a great day!